Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Welcome back. Jamie Duffy's just leaving us there. I was asking, someone texted in saying, would your guests have any tips for my daughter who's 10? She's lost the love of playing the piano, says Kira. And he was just saying, let her play the songs that she loves and she likes, not just the grades. That was the advice there. So sensible advice from the young lad. Now to another sensation from the youth for us. Grace Campbell is a comedian and she's a doyenne, I suppose, of the brat summer culture, maybe of comedy, especially the comedy influencers that celebrate with sketches, the kind of slacking and partying lifestyles of Gen Z. And she is coming to Dublin as well. Grace Campbell, good morning to you.
Hello, how are you?
Lovely to talk to you and thank you for joining us from London.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, yes. Where you born and bred from and love?
Yes, I've never really left. Well, you know, not permanently anyway.
I love this laissez-faire attitude we're already getting, which is a sighing comedian early in the morning. A good run in Edinburgh, did you enjoy?
It was great, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I was kind of smug because I only did the first 2 weeks. So everyone usually, you know, I usually do the whole month.
Oh, yeah.
So I just did the first 2 weeks and then I got to leave. But it was brilliant.
You were there for the fresh stages.
For the start, yeah. And then I felt bad because I left all of my friends who were still ploughing on, who had to do 2 more weeks.
God, it's
halfway point in Edinburgh is when it gets really, like, you know, you either turn to, like, drinking or you have to, like, go far the other way and not see anyone and not speak to anyone.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's a hard slog. It's a hard job. So I really do appreciate the early morning thing. Give us an idea of the sort of thing you do online and how that transfers to the stage.
Online, I just make videos and, yeah. Well, I now have a podcast as well.
Yes.
Which is called Late to the Party. But online, I just make things that I think would make my friends laugh, mainly. Videos that, about relationships and people's love lives, like comedy from sketches to stand up to, now with the podcast, more kind of like interviewy stuff, which has been really fun, being able to like talk to other funny people that I admire and then being able to put that out in the world. I had Joanne McNally on the podcast, which was incredible.
Yeah.
It was just an amazing hour of, we had so much fun.
You're curled up on the sofa. There's a very late night atmosphere to those podcasts.
That's the vibe. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to create a late night podcast, basically. You know, I'm obsessed with like late night chat shows in America, and I'm obsessed with Conan O'Brien, and he's like my comedy hero. And I wanted to make a podcast that's like got this late night vibe in it, and it will evolve definitely. But yeah, I'm glad that you appreciate that because that's what I've been going for.
I was almost thinking, hang on, they couldn't have done this at night, they're all working.
No, they're all in the morning.
Do you like the state of late night talk shows in America at the moment?
Do you know what? I don't know a huge, like, I think my knowledge of late night shows has come mainly from listening to Conan O'Brien's podcast, interestingly, because I've never lived in the States. I've watched clips of late night shows like SNL. I used to watch clips of Conan O'Brien's show, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, like all of those shows. But I think from listening to his podcast religiously, which I am obsessed with him and his podcast, I have learned a lot about like what he went through from SNL to then having his show to taking over from David Letterman, and he was so young, and he is such a, I hate saying this, it sounds so cringe, but he's such like avant-garde comedian in my opinion. He's just broken through so many like ideas, and the guests that he gets on all like appreciate him for that much. So I think I've learned it just from listening to that podcast. It's all been like post everything. So right now,
and he was a Simpsons writer as well.
And he's just so funny. He's just so funny.
That's interesting. So it's kind of the vintage comedy that you're interested in a way.
Yeah, I am. I'm obsessed with like Steve Martin and Martin Shaw. And I don't know if you watched the documentary about Steve Martin, but
I've meant to actually. Yeah,
it's incredible.
That's good, is it?
It's incredible. And that, and watching that made me not rethink my comedy, but it's like when I watch stuff about like Robin Williams, for example, he's like one of my biggest comedy heroes. It makes me, you know, just like think, OK, I can push myself a bit more, because I came to comedy with not much knowledge of comedy. I just started doing stand-up because I thought I'd be quite good at it, but I didn't know a lot about comedy. And then as I'm, like, growing up and learning more, it's been really fun, like, taking, like, older influences and thinking about ways that I can just, yeah, I don't know, apply it to my own stand-up and stuff.
It's good. The kind of online thing gives you that extra element then, because you can just do your own sketches, sending up whether it's the tropes of the loud person on the train and the very quiet person trying to shut them up.
Yeah.
Or just a bad behaviour in the summer sun and so on.
Yeah. I think it's that. It's like... I like observing myself and like my friends, basically. So observing and taking like ridiculous elements of my personality, my friends' personalities, and then putting them either into sketches or into my stand-up. Like the show that I'm bringing to Dublin, a huge part of this show is about my friends, and it's about like my female friendships and the relationships that I've had throughout my life that have like made me feel so unbelievably supported and safe through, you know, more traumatic things that have happened to me.
Yeah.
And so I like to like poke fun at my friends while also like being like, I'm so lucky that I have them. And I like to poke fun at myself, you know, that's my main thing.
You really do. I'm almost thinking, is that really you in the comedy? How much of you do you think comedians generally put in their stand-up?
I don't know about other people. My stand-up is really very, it's me. Like, it's very honest. And because I think people think that they're getting everything, and obviously they're not getting everything. If you come and watch one of my shows, I'm not telling you everything. I'm holding stuff back because I'm, you know, there's parts of the stories that I'm telling that I don't want people to know, or I'm protecting other people who are involved in the stories, or, you know, some people in my life don't want to be mined for jokes. So a lot of it is what you see is what you get, you know. Like, I'm quite an open book, and I think that's what's come across on the podcast as well, is I'm quite bad at sort of like concealing information about myself. So I don't know about other people. Like, a lot of the comedians that I love are the same. I know that Joanne is very much the same. Like, we sort of mine our own personal lives for material.
You've spoken very openly about your abortion and making that decision, and you wrote a beautiful piece in The Guardian only very recently, just a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was June.
Yeah. The decision, first of all, to write that piece, where was your head?
Well, I basically, after my abortion, I was really depressed, and a lot of that was chemical, and I felt like there wasn't enough on the internet to like guide me through what I was going through, because I'd spoken to other people who had gone through similar sort of reactions to abortions as I had, and mine was like, I was really glad that I could have one and it was the right decision, but I was really depressed afterwards, and I felt this sort of like permeating sense of grief, and I didn't really know like where it belonged or how to articulate it. And so I spoke to different people, like one of my best friends who had had an abortion not long before me, and we'd had really similar reactions, and I was just like, it feels weird that there's not that, like, I was desperate to find like a support group for me to talk to other people, like when I was going through that in sort of January, February of this year. I couldn't find that. So once it started to lift, which it did in like March, April, I was like, okay, well, the show that I knew that I wanted part of the show to be about it, because, you know, it's kind of all that I'd thought about, and I knew that I had this tour, so I had to write something. And weirdly, the title of my show, we decided before I got pregnant, was Grace Campbell's on Heat, because my dog had come on heat, basically. So I didn't know what to call my show, and I was like, I'll just call it Grace Campbell's on Heat. And then, like, 4 months after I decided the name of the show, I got pregnant, and then I was like, okay, well, the title works still for this story. Yeah. So, but when I was thinking about that, when my sort of, like, sadness started to lift, I thought, I really want to write something that's, like, not funny, because the show is, like, the show is not, it's not all about an abortion. It's about so many things. It's about growing up. It's about kind of, like I said, my female friendships. But I wanted to write a piece that was what I wanted to read, basically, in January and February. So that's why I wrote it, because I really needed someone else to say those things to me, like, that I didn't know. and it was amazing. And I like was just saying to my best friend this morning, I'm still getting so many messages online from people who are going through abortions now, who yeah. like have been sent the piece, and that makes me so happy. That's all I really wanted was mm-hmm. for there to be this thing online that could just exist now, and people can say, oh, like, here's this thing that you can read, and it will just make you feel a little bit better about like the complicated feelings that you're having about your abortion.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary description. It really is. And it really does give us information we didn't know the rest of the world, I'm saying. I think the key line, the doctor did not prepare you for what was to come.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's complicated because maybe the reason that doctors don't is because they don't want it to seem like they're like trying to put you off of the decision. You know, abortion is such a complicated topic to discuss. Yeah. This is why I was so nervous even doing it. But I think it's important that we like delve deeper into these like complicated issues. But I think had someone warned me, I would have still done it 100% because it was the right thing for me to do at that point in my life. But I would have felt so much less isolated when I did start to feel the things that I felt. Because had someone said, oh, by the way, there's a chance, not 100%, doesn't happen to everyone, as we know. Some people have fine reactions, but there is a chance that you might get, you know, depressed afterwards, you might feel sad, that you might like have feelings of sort of grief or whatever, mm-hmm. then I would have felt more normal. It was this horrible feeling that I was like the only person in the world who had this reaction that made me feel even more kind of like self-loathing.
Yeah. And what should they be saying?
I think a sort of heads up. And also, I think when you, like, for example, if anyone listening to this is having one or knows someone that's having one, like, something that I really wish someone had told me is to, like, take a lot of iron supplements. Like, there are things you can do to support your body in, like, the changes that you're going through. Acupuncture ended up being the life-changing part for me because my hormones were so dysregulated afterwards. So after my abortion, whenever I had a period, I would get really, really sad because I think my body was confused as to why we were not pregnant anymore, basically.
Right.
And then acupuncture was the thing that just regulated my hormones. So it's like things like that, you know, I wish, and I know that some of that is kind of new age, like hippie stuff, but things like that I wish that there was maybe more to like online or things for you to know. I mean, yeah. Reddit ended up being my saving grace. I'd never used Reddit before, and I ended up going on Reddit so much for comfort and for advice.
The Reddit was better than the doctor in
this
case.
Yeah, 100%.
I like the way that you say it's exactly what you talk about just there, that abortions are not a one size fits all physical and emotional process and affects people in different ways. Some people are okay and so on. Are you okay now? Because this is very recently.
Yeah, I am. I am, actually. I think there was a point in June, July where I thought, is this too soon to be doing a show about it? But having just done Edinburgh, the show it's the best show I've ever written. And it's really not like all about an abortion. It's about my dog. It's about my friends. It's about me kind of like realizing how much like I shouldn't do things to please men, basically. Like, the reason I got pregnant was because like I conceded in a moment of, you know, not weakness, but just sort of in a moment where I thought, oh, I want to make this man happy. Yeah. And so I think the show is kind of it's a real journey, and doing it every day in Edinburgh made me feel really, really good and really proud of myself because it's a really funny show. I was getting standing ovations every day. The reaction I've had is incredible. The messages I've received are amazing. And also the messages I've received from men and from, like, partners of men who have brought their partners and been like, God, like, I'm so glad that I brought him because now he understands, like, what I had to go through a few years ago. I think it's good. Like, I want this show to be seen by as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. And I'd really encourage people to bring their boyfriends.
Very good. You're coming to the right city. You're coming to Dublin, where we only voted. Was it 2018?
I know.
Was the referendum on giving women the right to choose. I mentioned your dad is Alistair Campbell, and you're sick of talking about that. I'm interested who your mum is. We don't hear very much about.
Yeah, my mum, she is lots of things. She was a journalist. My parents met on like a journalism training scheme in Devon after university. They're both trainee journalists, and then they worked in Fleet Street together. And then she was a journalist and then started working. When my dad started working for Tony Blair, she started working for Cherie Blair. So they both worked in politics, and she's also a big campaigner for like improving state school education in the country.
She was opposed to the war in Iraq, and she resigned over the matter, which I think is extraordinary and forgotten.
Yeah, yeah, I know. She's amazing, my mum. She's an incredible person. I'm very lucky to have grown up with her.
Fiona, we should say.
Yeah. And that's what's so funny in the show. I've got this like bit in the show about how I went to state school, and like people always think I went to private school because obviously I sound posh. And weirdly, I've only started to sound more posh since I started doing comedy. My accent's really changed since I started doing comedy. I don't know what it is. I think it's that I've started impersonating the characters that I used to do. My accent's definitely become more posh. But there's a bit in the show about that, because it's like, I think the presumption that people always have about me is that I'm like a private school girl. And that's one of the things that offends me and my mum the most, because I was raised to think that like private schools were really, really bad for society.
So the opposite, really, basically.
And so then it's so annoying because I really want to like defend myself, but then I come across as so sort of annoying and tone deaf.
Grace Campbell, I wish you had more time because I really enjoyed our chat. Thanks so much. I want to say to people, by the way, if you've been affected by issues raised in our discussion this morning, and if you're dealing with an unplanned pregnancy, contact the My Options free phone line, 1800 828 010. I'll give it out again before we go. Grace Campbell, you're in Dublin, Liberty Hall Theatre, on the 25th of October.
Yes, I look forward to it.
Look forward to that. And try not to sound too posh when you come to Dublin. Good luck. Enjoy. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
From the North, Tech Studio, followed by your message to 80889.